From the Arts Center in Carrboro, you're listening to Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio, and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for tuning us in, wherever that might be from, whether it's on this shore or the podcast, God knows where that goes. I have a fascinating group of people here this morning. That's usually the case in the speakeasy anyway, but this is actually going to be the renowned film producer, Rob Underhill, is here with me. He's going to catch me up on his recent trip to Cannes Film Festival, which he was invited to, which is really a big deal in cinema. I also have Will Williams, who wrote the film that I had the pleasure of playing Hemingway in, called No Child. We have historian Bob Crowley, also president of the Apex Arts Council here. Of course, Rocco at the helm, and this is yours truly. I want to give a quick shout-out to the Historic Carolina Theater as well as the Apex Arts Council that sponsor the Speakeasy. Rob, I'd like to go right over to you and have you catch me up on this recent trip to the Cannes Film Festival. And also, I understand from you that there's going to be a screening of No Child coming up as well.
That is correct. So mid to late September, we're going to be showing No Child in North Raleigh at the Living Arts College. We haven't secured the exact date yet, so I have to hold off on that.
All right.
And then, of course, it'll be friends and family screening, so all of them, including yourself, of course, playing Hemingway, will have a chance.
I better be there, right?
Yes.
We'll have a chance to have themselves and their friends and family come first, and then any other openings, we'll open it up to the public a couple weeks ahead of the screening. So we do hope to get some fresh faces in there, and this is also a great opportunity to get feedback from the audience and from peers, fellow filmmakers.
And you said you're going to be pursuing venues like PBS for the release eventually and so on?
Absolutely. I think this is a beautiful piece for it's really good for all ages. It's great for it's inspirational. It's about growing up. And I think that it would be wonderful in a lot of different channels, but we're going to pursue channels like PBS or Oprah Network to put this program on.
Fantastic. Just to switch around a little bit, Will, I understand you just married off your sister.
Yeah,
He's still sobering up from that occasion.
Yeah, I'm still recovering from the wedding festivities, but
must have been a good one.
Yeah, my younger sister, 25 years old.
What's her name?
Lauren.
Lauren
found the man of her dreams and got married on Saturday.
Fantastic. And how old was she, if you don't mind me asking?
She's 25.
25, and a young one. Okay.
Yeah, she's in Antigua for the honeymoon.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Antigua. I actually co-wrote a Calypso album with King Obstinate, who has a home base in Antigua.
Okay.
So anyway, congratulations on all that. Bob, the historian, you've got a few things to cue us in about. What is today?
Well, today is a really great day. It's National Cherry Popsicle Day. So
who comes up with these things?
I have no idea. It's just there somewhere along the line. It's probably the popsicle makers. But more importantly, today is National Dog Day, which is a day we're supposed to remember our canine friends and honor them and do whatever and give them an extra dog biscuit and howl a little bit with them.
Ooh! We can go there. I live with a bunch.
I know. Yeah, we've got four, and I've got four, and we had a great old time with them, too.
And you told me, you gave me an interesting quote by Jack London this morning that
I
want you to mention.
I usually try to find one, and this was, as I say, Jack London. It says that giving a dog a bone is not charity. Charity is sharing a bone with a dog when you're both hungry.
I would say so, yeah. I think that fits.
That's it. I mean,
and one quick glance over to Rocco. How is the most recent trip to the mountains? Seems like you've been leaving this part of the country and heading for the hills quite a few times since I've seen you last.
I have, Claudio. I've been moving to the mountains, back to the East Coast, back and forth. And coming back here to WCOM, you know we have our 10th anniversary coming up, and we have big things planned in October.
Right.
As you've been seeing on our online network.
And, of course, you just 2 weeks ago celebrated your 500th show. That's quite an accomplishment.
I did. 500 music hall programs. That's over amazing. The last 9.5 years.
And he never recorded any of them, because I was going to say I'd like to acquire the complete collection and just play it for the rest of my life. Hopefully I live longer, but no telling.
Every music hall show is lost.
Ah, it's such a pity.
You have to listen online or on the radio.
It's always live and it doesn't get podcast.
No podcast.
What a pity. Rob, back to you. I wanna find out. Yeah, I like the way that's the dramatic aspect of the microphone moving from one person to another.
Beaming into the chair here.
Yes, yes. I would love to hear this, how this invitation to Cannes Film Festival came about. Now, I know you have an extensive body of work, and if any of you folks listening want to see that, I wrote a considerable review on it for the Apex Arts Council. Just look for, just go to that website and look for film and art reviews, and you can even see pictures of the handsome fella.
Well, thank you for that compliment. Well, the Cannes Film Festival, we decided to enter some work into the short film corner, and it was accepted. And so with that, you get an all-access pass to all the grounds. So you walk all the same grounds, all the stars
wow.
walk. You got access to all the vendors. It's the biggest film market in the world, so we're talking to people who market films. They produce them, and they also syndicate them and all this other thing. So you've got networks there. You've got people that are pushing movies out into the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, top dogs who can really... That's the place if you want to be a filmmaker, goes to the next level. You have to talk to these people.
Even Hollywood goes to them.
See what
them.
They want, right. See what they're looking for, see how your project can be done better. And in fact, if you have a great project and some funding, you team up with one of these guys to make sure that pre-production's done right, you get the right actors, and you get the right film produced so that they can right. market it, you know, since they know they got a marketable thing from the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helps them. Do something with your work so you can get out into the market.
Tell us a little bit about the place, the experience, what it looked like, how you saw it, how you felt there.
Well, it's pretty unbelievable. You know, it's a mix of...
I've seen pictures of the Yacht Basin, which is extraordinary
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, so you're just right outside our hotel, just 5 miles from Cannes.
Right.
Now the whole thing's along a beach, so we actually walk the 5 miles along the beach from our hotel to Cannes, and it's an amazing walk because it's all beach.
For those not realizing, Cannes is in France.
Yes, the southern part, and it's... you've got Monte Carlo right there, too, which I visited
wow.
during the Formula One racing.
No wonder those yachts are there. Okay.
So, yeah, so we're out in the water. You've got yachts. You've got cruise liners, which are some of the size of, you know, small cities.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got, you know, yes. just the beach covered in people. You've got parasailers. You've got people doing sports, riding around on their boats. You've got people on bikes, motor scooters, cars, all along the beach. And you've got, of course, tons of hotels. And you've got helicopters. There's a regular stream of helicopters going to Cannes and back because there's literally hundreds of top movie stars and producers at Cannes all the time. So you don't
yeah.
always see them, but they're hiding behind some walls in a hotel, or they're literally just, you know, 20 yards from you and you can't see them, but they're there. They're just everywhere.
And it is an expensive place. How'd you feel about that part?
Well, it's not terribly bad if you do it right. So I went with 4 people. We split the hotel.
One of them had to be Henry David Thoreau, right, to be your advisor?
Absolutely. No, I did actually go with Robert Wagner, which is a partner
right.
on another project, and
yes.
his wife, who's the executive producer of Bragg and East.
Right.
And then I went with my girlfriend, and we mm-hmm. went to we all split a hotel, and from there we rented a car.
Oh, good.
Which
okay.
is the best way to do it, because then you've got access to France. You know,
yes.
you can actually drive to Paris if you want. Those really far away from Cannes, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we actually went to Nice and Monte Carlo and,
oh, you did
and
it
all
right.
on Cannes, and
fantastic.
We had a wonderful experience.
Incredible. And then when so how did it come to the festival itself? What happened there?
Sure.
I'm not sure how that works, personally.
Yeah, so there, of course, is a selection process, and we were beat out the competition to have a chance to have a screening there.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up being out of competition because it was both works that we had in at the festival were too long to be in competition. But the cool thing is you have the same access as everyone. You get to
right.
Be a part of the whole festival.
You're officially acknowledged at
that's
this
right,
point,
yeah.
which is really
yeah.
the best you
and
could
you,
hope for.
And you also get all the espresso you can drink. It's really wonderful espresso.
Oh, now I want to go. I missed mine this morning.
The first day I kept it low on about 5 shots of espresso, and then it steadily grew to 10 towards the second week. And
didn't realize your body was building up a resistance, huh?
But you're also meeting these people at the all the parties, and that's and this doesn't have to be done in a wild and crazy way. You can go mm-hmm. and have just a wonderful time, you know, couples, families. You could really go and have a wonderful time at the festival. And experience, you know, all the little tiny restaurants all over the place.
I'm sure.
And you also can go to these parties. You learn the routine. Someone kind of tells you how it works, you know, how you RSVP.
If you want to go for a wipeout, you go here.
Well, for the parties, they have them on rooftops. They have them around the beach. And it's all free champagne,
huh.
you know, free hors d'oeuvres, free music, you know, lots of, you know, some high-end producers and that kind
no
of
doubt.
Thing. So,
now
yeah.
I want to go.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
really great. You can really have a lot of fun, and you can do a lot of work all in the same package, so.
Fantastic. And how long were you there?
I was there for 2 full weeks.
Wow.
Almost 14 days, yeah.
My goodness. And, you know, when you want to, I'm sure you did it very creatively, but just to think of the expense of that kind of a stay, I admire you for being able to get through it.
Of course, like I said, we did economically, and you can plan really well, splitting the costs, and it comes out to cheaper than a normal trip with
just
two people when you do it right. And of course, it's an educational experience. You have to do it. It's like going to school, learning what they want and what the market's looking for. Every filmmaker really has to make the journey.
Switching over to Will for a minute. Now that you have written a work that is now already a movie as we speak, what do you have the bug in you to create something new? I would imagine it's a bit of a kick in the butt to realize you've got something on screen. Okay, what am I going to do next?
Definitely. There's an itch that I need to scratch. I'm trying to figure out what's next, and I think all artists kind of get that feeling once they complete a piece. And
yeah.
It's all right.
There's a certain joy, this
urge to create again.
And there's a certain joy and a sadness that comes with it because you realize, I'm done. I won't be waking up anymore to this project, but then to establish a new one. And the beginnings are always some of the most difficult times.
Yeah. And sometimes I really like, actually, I like the beginning of just starting something because mm-hmm. what I dislike is kind of the when everything's done and just the
and you're doing the technical
the left brain mm-hmm. the left brain technical stuff. I like the just throwing everything out on
I'm with you on
paper
that.
Or just ideas in your head.
Yeah,
that's what I really love.
It's a good thing to keep your hand in the technical aspect too, because that way you can make sure that everybody's being true to your vision.
Right.
Because I have known people that, especially old souls of cinema and so on, that were telling me stories when I chefed for them, old movie stars, how they took a work and they just entrusted certain people to take care of the technical aspect. And by the time I got around to them seeing what they'd done with it, they didn't feel like it was their work at all anymore. So I'm sure that can happen in certain circles. Too many cooks spoil the broth, right?
Claudio. I believe all of us can remember when black and white films were being made into color films back in probably the 70s mm-hmm. or 60s. How do you folks feel about that? You think you should take a classic black and white movie and then add color to it?
Well, I can speak to that because having been born in the 70s, I was born into the color mm-hmm. movie. So I think I brought it with me.
Technicolor, I think, was the early one. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think my birth really is what ignited the color and film movement.
How do you feel about old black and whites being transformed, though?
Oh, I personally think it's wonderful. For one thing, if you can have a mastered, wonderful black and white copy available, mm-hmm. And you can have it totally digitally mastered and available, and then rebirth it with a color interpretation with you have a really great artistic team doing it, then you can kind of reinvent the movie. It's just like how every element of a movie reinvents the movie. So the score, like for No Child, we've got an amazing score composer, and that really, any dialogue that was just cool becomes amazing.
It just sets it off.
Yeah. And so the same thing with adding color. You've just added up a whole new world of ways people can interpret it. And
it's almost like you're seeing something new. Wasn't that the Wizard of Oz, where a portion of it was black and white and then it went to color?
The beginning and the end, yeah.
That might have been a hint, hint, this is coming. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Ted Turner kept threatening to colorize those pieces and he was threatened with
leave
lynching.
Them alone, yeah.
Yeah, I think he was threatened with lynching.
Lynching, great.
Was it originally like that, or was it all black and white when it first came out?
No, it was. They sort of began the color barrier, and they went from black and white, and somehow thought it would be magic to suddenly go into color. So it was designed that way.
Yeah, the whole idea is when you were in Kansas, it was black and white. When you were in Oz, it was color.
I don't know what that says about Kansas.
I'm not sure what the first color motion picture was. It wasn't The either. Wizard of Oz.
I have a hard time imagining Casablanca suddenly being in color.
No,
that's what I mean.
Wouldn't work.
Yeah, it's a fascinating progress of the whole
thing.
Then
Gone with the Wind, I can imagine without color now,
Yeah, well, because that was in stark color when it came out, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so you wonder what some things would look like in black and white. I still love black and white just for what it does for the image. I think certain short films might do really well, depending on subject matter, but do really well captured in black
and white.
Well,
absolutely. In fact, we've got I've got a short film called Wolf Call, and we intentionally opened with color as if it's the present, even though we're still taking place in 1956. It's the Emmett Till story.
Yes, right.
And so it's William Bradford Huey who interviews the killers, And that goes to black and white as he's in the conversations with them as they admit to murdering the boy.
Yes.
And ends up being really powerful. And of course that short film has traveled the world. And
that's the one I've seen. Yeah, I've got a copy.
That's right. Yeah.
That was really well done.
Rob, I think the black and white photographs and the black and white motion pictures were using silver nitrate instead of whatever they're using now, and it made a difference. If you look at a 1930s photograph,
give
of
it
a
more
movie
vitality,
star,
maybe
it just looked better. These Ansel Adams photographs, they're
magical.
Very dramatic. It really is with that silver nitrate process in producing the print.
And I'm sure he would not want those black and whites to be turned into color, not for his particular
style. I would
think
so, yeah.
Now. But I can definitely see it happening with more cinema, especially stuff that goes way back beyond what this generation has seen and might not appreciate it unless it's transformed. No telling. How about some music, Rocco?
Let's
take a little breather, and I'll put these guys on the spot again. You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, brought to you by the Historic Carolina Theater of Durham, as well as the Apex Arts Council. I'm here in the studio with film director Rob Underhill, author, screenplay writer, actor Will Williams, historian Bob Crowley, Rocco, basically flying this thing, and yours truly.
Thank you. The world of science is endlessly fascinating, and some of the world's most significant science is going on right here in the Triangle. This is Ernie Hood. Join me Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Radio In Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science Community, right here on WCOM LP-FM.
All the radio you'll ever need is community radio, WCOM, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Heard at 103.5 FM and online at WCOMFM.org. Now back to Claudio.
Well, I'm going to take a very well-deserved scolding publicly. Please correct me, Mr. Rob Underhill.
Well, sure. The movie No Child, the original concept was created by Will Williams. I took it from there and wrote the screenplay with, of course, his help, and collaborated with him, and also collaborated a bit with my friend Alan Gies in Michigan.
So you are the author of the screenplay. That's right. The overall author.
Yep, gotcha. Yep. He created the original story. He was writing the novel when he approached me about writing a screenplay for it. Gotcha. And then we kind of went from there. But Will can speak to this, but he was instrumental in raising funds and producing this properly. So we didn't cut any corners. And gotcha. He's also a big part of post-production and getting this in front of people and trying to pitch it to places we can possibly
showcase. So everybody had plenty of hands-on on this one.
Yeah. And I actually, while we're on subject.
Yes, the subject.
I have to mention that the our supporting lead actor is Timmy Richardson. He's the 8-year-old African-American boy. Yes. He's the youngest drum major at Shaw University ever. He started at age 3, and I just got done recording his 5th anniversary Battle of the Bands.
That's what you were filming.
Yes.
That's right.
Okay. And he actually just got off the set of the Tyler Perry's new TV show. So he's becoming a little star all of a sudden.
Yeah.
He's in 10 episodes. It comes out in September.
Do you know what this is?
The actual name?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to tell you in a minute.
That's okay. That's fine. Don't mean to put you on the spot.
I think it's I don't want to say it.
That's okay.
I believe it's called If Loving You Is Wrong.
Yeah, that's
it. Oh, taken from an old song.
Yeah.
Then I don't want to be right. Yeah.
So he got to go on the Tyler Perry Studios set. You know, he's got pictures with Tyler Perry, and he's really catapulted his own career suddenly. And, of course, now that we have a couple features with him in it, including No Child, we'll look forward to making that part of what makes this a special piece as we bring it to the public.
Certainly something he's going to look back on for the rest of his life, being
absolutely.
As young as he is.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, I remember that spunky little kid on the set.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, something I'd love to know about you, Claudio, is kind of your inspiration, because I know when I approached you about playing the role of Hemingway, you wanted to add something special to it. I just had a couple of small paragraphs of kind of insightful angles, and that's going to do a lot of kind of symbolic B-roll. But then you came back with a whole speech that ended up becoming integrated and becoming a major character in the whole story. In fact, you became the kind of a clincher character, which you'll soon see when you come to the preview screen.
Well, thank you. Well, when you first approached me on that, you know, I figured, okay, what's it going to be like stepping into the shoes of a legend? And as a writer myself, and I have a lot in common with Hemingway because he loved Africa, he loved the sea, spent his life there, as I have with mine. And if he was still alive, he wouldn't be very much older than me, probably by 15 years or more. But got to thinking that I studied documentaries about him, and I started reading. I've actually never read a complete Hemingway work except The Old Man and the Sea. So I started brushing up, and I started getting a feel for his character. And with the suggestions that you sent, it helped me come up with the idea for the monologue. And apparently it worked because you bought it.
But I also like that it was very important to you that you capture why this was a great human being in his messages. Because not only could he really capture people really realistically and naturally and pull out the essence of them, but you know, he just has this bad rap for being an alcoholic, being downgrading to women. But when you look at his work and his essence of his artistry, he is really about people. And
there's a lot of nobility there.
Important stories and powerful important stories. You know, and that's the part that I like that you wanted to draw out of the monologue.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure. I wanted to make sure that we didn't downplay the legend.
That's right.
To a great extent, because I know Hemingway fans everywhere are going to come, see this just because his name is put in part of the work. There's a particular cult following all over the world that you know, they still buy his books and they still go to anything where somebody's playing him.
Mm-hmm.
So I just figured we'd be scrutinized somewhat in that regard. But I
Absolutely.
Also have a great admiration for just his capacity for telling stories and also his wisdoms. For example, I recently heard one. I was watching Criminal Minds, and you know how they always have their moment of philosophy. And there was a thing that they quoted Hemingway, and it was his statement that I thought was bold, especially for the time and even for now, but he said, "Make no mistake, no matter the justification or the reason for going to war, it is always a crime." Mm. And I completely feel that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you're basically taking murder into your own hands, whether it's national or international. But ultimately, and I admired him for saying that, because at the time, he probably wrote that during the time of the Spanish Wars, and where he was actually witnessing things. And for him to be brave enough and bold enough to come out with something that could have been considered a traitorous statement. Mm-hmm. So my hat's off to him.
Absolutely.
Let's go over to Will, the author of this entire project. How did this come by initially, and you first approaching Rob about the film, or about the book to film?
Well, originally I got the idea, it was just kind of a personal experience I was going through. Just gotten out of college, and seemed like all the way up until college, I felt like I had everything figured out, you know, what I wanted to do. And then when I got out, it was like, wait a second, I thought everything would just fall into place. Mm-hmm. And then, as many of us do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I saw a good quote. It goes something like, most people die when they're 25. We just don't bury them till they're 80. and
that's a good one.
And, you know, and that's what I felt like I was going through, was I was giving up on everything. I was just going to coast through life. So when I was working on a novel with this concept, I was trying to figure out how do people at this point in their life, how do they figure it out, mm-hmm. instead of just coasting the rest of their life? And I realized sometimes you figure things out kind of indirectly. It might not be the perfect mentor that gives you the inspiration to change. It might be a situation or circumstance, or something you read in a book or something like that.
What's the famous John Lennon line? Life is what happens while we're busy making other plans.
Yeah.
Yeah. That all fits in.
And something I have to say about this project is it's so layered with that kind of thing. You've got a boy that's inspiring him. His own relearning Hemingway is inspiring himself and his love for literature. And the love of his girlfriend is inspiring him. Mm-hmm. And it's all kind of like a reluctant hero, but really being a hero just means him getting a hold of his own life and moving forward and doing what's right for him and the people around him. It's not about being a hero where you save the world, you know. It's really about being an everyday hero, which is being a good person. And
yeah.
And growing up and becoming, you know, growing out of childhood, which, is what No Child, the title, is really all about.
And very much in the flavor of what Will just spoke of.
Yeah, and then of course you got the he's visited by Hemingway in his dreams.
Yes,
the actual Hemingway by Claudio.
Dream sequence.
That's
yes.
Right. And then there's a bum who quotes Hemingway during the day he runs across, who's just kind of randomly throwing out these quotes and being a nuisance. But he's kind of influencing him as well in interesting ways. Mm-hmm. And so that all kind of culminates, you know, in him awakening his spirit of what he wants to be and what the things he needs to cut out. You know, like he's becoming an alcoholic.
Right.
And he's pursuing a career path that's really going to drown him in his spirit. And he needs to break away from that, no matter how tempting the mm-hmm. job or the money might be. He knows what he wants to do by the end of the movie, and he's going to have to either do it or suffer the consequences. We all see the train wreck coming.
Yeah, right.
So we hope through the whole movie he'll make the change.
Well, the movie is still a bit of enough of a mystery to me to where it's going to be brand new when I see it. I haven't been filled in on all the details. I made it a point not to read any of the script beyond my part of it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really looking forward to what I see on screen,
Rob,
essentially for the first time.
Do you have a title for the movie yet?
Sure. Well, we've played with a few ideas. And Claudio actually had a wonderful idea of calling it Hemingway's Son. Hemingway's child. That's right. Yeah.
Hemingway
and that,
child.
That does elicit a lot of really fantastic concepts of what we're doing. And I kind of started to stick to No Child because I liked what it did to people. For one thing, anytime someone repeated it back to me saying, "Oh, hey, I was No Child Left Behind coming along." Oh, what did they just say? They said
behind.
No Child
yes.
Left Behind. And that's actually part of the story,
too. And that
is
where it came from, right?
Yeah, the little boy is trying to pass the reading comprehension section of No Child Left Behind, eighth mm-hmm. grade level. And we did all the research, made it totally authentic. And that's really one of the components of the film, too.
Well, titles and names are really very powerful. Mm-hmm. You're talking about Hemingway. He has one of these magical names like Rockefeller or Vanderbilt mm-hmm. that carry a lot of impact when you hear the name. Whereas, say, even though Bill Gates might be the richest man in the country or the world, whatever, the name Gates is not like Vanderbilt or Rockefeller.
Right.
And in movie titles, oh, it like Gone with the Wind. Just a powerful mm-hmm. name before the movie ever came out.
Which is kind of unique, because commonly you think of superstars having a big name to sort of set themselves off, have their, you know, careers measured by. But this was the name of an author who became a superstar and who always dwarfed anybody else on the set if they were making a movie about his work.
Mm-hmm. The humorist Gene Shepard used to talk about that in the context of radio commentators. He says, you know, when you listen to the radio now and you listen to the news, it's, you know, some insipid little name, but back in the day it was Westbrook Van Voorhees or mm-hmm. Westbrook Pegler or John Cameron Swayze. You know, it was powerful.
Right. Names are powerful.
They are. And I would say Hemingway's got to be one of the most powerful.
Oh, absolutely. And then that'll be definitely part of the slug line underneath it. Hemingway's going to be there. and it's one of those things where you don't really put it to stone until it sells somewhere. So if someone wanted to give it syndication and put it on TV, I would definitely make the recommendation. So how do you feel about No Child or Hemingway Child? And let them help me in the kind of marketing aspect, because I love both titles. And if they feel like one would be more of a draw than the other, and it certainly could be.
So you're saying that there's no official title in stone as yet.
That's right. It'll be No Child like it is on IMDb right mm-hmm. now. But everything's open for change.
It certainly has a certain power to it.
It can change.
Yeah. No Child does have a certain power to it, because I've been running it through my head for a long time.
Oh, and it makes it question all kinds of things. You're thinking about, what does that mean? Does it mean grown up? Does it mean don't be a child?
The danger about using
derogatory, or is it uplifting? You know,
right. And the danger about using Hemingway Child might be that that on some level people will expect this to be a child that was found that belonged to Hemingway.
Oh, sure.
You know, there's all interpretations go in possibly the wrong direction.
I know. We'll have to do the 10-minute extra sequence now where we find out the genetic history goes all the way back to Hemingway with the child.
No, darling. Well, shall we have a moment of radio theater? I want to be sure that I live up to what's expected of me, and then we'll come right back and continue this quest. This is a piece I wrote some years ago. Something romantic for the ladies. It's called Reflections.
Reflections. Take a look at yourself, whoever you may be. Look closely. Is it you? Or perhaps only a reflection of what you once were? What caused you to change? Love? A deep love for someone by whom it was refused, perhaps used. And this has turned you to stone. Rearranged you, changed you. Your life, your attitude, your love for people and life. You find someone knocking on your door. Refuse him, deny him, neglect him, use him. Why? Because it has been done unto you? Think. Is that your reason? To neglect love is the wisdom of a fool. Look at yourself. You are locked inside a bitter soul. Come out and be your whole. Realize you did not understand. Push aside your pride. Love is understanding, caring, hoping, fighting, sharing, enduring. Not surrendering your heart unto perpetual darkness. To keep your candle alight, protect it from the wind of another's neglect. There will always come the chance of another love. Yet not for the ones too blind to realize. Don't be blind. Don't be a fool. Don't neglect. Keep your light burning. Someone wandering in darkness, such as I, will see it and replenish it. And it shall burn and glow stronger than ever before. The radiance of its heat shall warm the world, our world, their world, the world of love. It will burn the bitterness from your soul. You shall be your whole. And if I should weaken, then keep your light burning for another. The darkness must be defeated. For as long as I live, we shall defeat it. Our candle shall burn well. There will be no wind, no storms. Only the glow of love and gratitude. This I promise you, my love.
Look around you. One in four kids in the U.S. faces hunger. It's not always easy to see the signs, but in this land of plenty, there are kids who don't know where they'll get their next meal. Join Share Our Strength and take the pledge to end childhood hunger here in America by 2015. Learn how at nokidhungry.org. Their next meal could come from you.
I'd like to tell you that your host Claudio is available as a poet with a one-man band for house concerts, performing original and traditional literary readings. Claudio is well known as a classical poet and a master storyteller. His website is claudioarts.com.
And once again, thank you for tuning in to Speakeasy. I'm here with director Rob Underhill, author Will Williams, and we're going to go over to Bob Crowley, historian. I kind of like to start this section with you filling us in on the Apex Arts Council. What's happening over there? And then I'm going to bounce back over to you, Rob, so be ready.
Sorry, my microphone got...
We were just trying to silence you.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people have tried that, and probably for good reason. The Apex Arts Council is doing really good here. We've announced here over the last month or two that we've now got a community theater group and the Dance Theater of Apex.
Well, which we introduced 2 weeks ago, yes.
Right. We had the dance mistress, Jackie Rafferty, on here, and she did a very good job, I thought. The community theater has mounted and done their first production. They used the brand new amphitheater at the brand new Apex Nature Park to mount something they called Robin Hood, which was a musical take on the Robin Hood legend. And I got absolutely rave reviews from everyone.
Fantastic.
I talked about that. They did a wonderful job, and now we got to figure out what they got to do next.
Not bad for a launch.
Oh, yeah. They nailed it. They nailed it good. And then the dance theater, well, we're going to do something a little special there. We have auditions coming up, and if you go to the Facebook page for the Apex Arts Council, you'll find the event in there. We're auditioning for a production we're going to do in mid-December of a kind of a miniature version of the Nutcracker. I mean, everybody does the Nutcracker, but we're only going to do the so-called Land of the Sweets, which is the second act. And it's kind of all the sweet little dances,
right,
and such.
So they want children to apply for this, right?
We want children. We want adult dancers, too. I mean, we want a little bit of everything because we need a little bit of everybody. So if you're inclined for that, or you have a daughter or a son who is interested in dance, please get in touch with the Apex Arts Council, and let's get you in there. This is going to be fun. Everybody in the world seems like it does the Nutcracker.
Right.
Well, But what else would you do around Christmas?
But you're just putting a microscope on a certain element of the Nutcracker, not the complete work.
Just, yeah, the second act, which I think will be wonderful. We're going to do five performances, one on a Friday night, and then a matinee and an evening performance on Saturday and Sunday, probably the 19th, 20th, and 21st of December.
And Jackie has broached me to be potential narrator for this, so
yep.
All this is in the works.
Oh, yeah, but it's going to happen.
Good. Well, bravo. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, so, and then we got a few other things coming up. We're looking to mount an exhibit of abstract and art, which I think we may have some famous person into it, Mr.
Famous.
Claudio.
Famous, okay. And, I'm famous as Hemingway, yeah.
Yeah, you're famous, all right. Or infamous, I'm not sure which.
There we go.
And, well, maybe a couple other surprises, but we're coming up on some interesting things. And, of course, next year we are 10 years old, so we're going to have some kind of big celebration.
Reason to party.
Yeah, March 22nd next year. So we're going to have a party or something happen. Not sure what, but we're going to have it.
Good.
So that's what the Apex Arts Council is doing.
Well, thank you for the scoop. You can turn off his mic again.
Yeah, you go. Yeah, you might as well. I mean, I don't say anything.
Right. Rob, let's get back to you. Anything you want to touch on that we haven't? I mean, you
sure. Well, I can give you kind of an overview of what I do. I've been in the area for 17, 18 years, but it was only the last about 8 years I got into filmmaking and doing media production. If people want to see what I'm up to, they can just go to my website, robunderhill.com. So it's my name.
Or the Apex Arts Council under Film and Art Reviews.
Yep.
You can see more there.
Absolutely. And also, but for regular day-to-day kind of updates, I post things on the Facebook page, which is Rob Underhill Productions.
Yeah,
all one word. When you search on Facebook, you'll find it. And I update about, of course, No Child. And
how many films
that.
Do you have under your belt at this point?
Well,
quite a few.
I'm looking at about 6 to 7 features. We've got stuff in all stages of development. We've got about 4 finished features. I've got 2 that are wrapping up this year and another 2 that are in pre-production. They're about to roll into gear. I've actually got a meeting with the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. This coming month to discuss funding for some projects.
You think you can stop that war in the Middle East while you're at it?
Well, Andrew Young's got a panel for financing these kind of projects, kind of like ones that are educational, involve the young, ones that are kind of uplifting, socially conscious, speak to social problems. And so we're going to present 3 projects we're working on to get finishing funds and also starter funds for a documentary we want to do about slavery in today's modern age, the ramifications of all the way till today.
So this is his personal foundation that he's doing? Through the UN or the U.S. office?
That's right. That's his day job, but he's he does have a panel of folks that have funds available for special projects.
And, cool.
And we've been invited, so we're looking forward to presenting.
You're getting all kinds of invitations. Boy, I guess when you get invited to Cannes, everything else is just something to do.
I should say that I also do a little of everything, because we all need meat and potatoes. So I do one-man band type things. I do live performances, theater productions. I do interviews, do short films. I've done over 50 short films. So you name
amazing
it, my hands are in it, and people are welcome to connect with me anytime to discuss their project.
And Rob and I are working on a project together right now.
We just started yesterday. Yeah.
I'll let you talk about that, because I'm letting you take the direction with it. But go ahead, you.
Well, Claudio, I've always been an admirer of your work, and you've got quite a history here, too, in this town. And I thought you discussed with me some of your I've seen your portfolio stuff on hand, because I know a lot of your work is in other people's hands,
from
their
paintings
homes
to literatures to recording.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I thought when you approached me with the idea that you were trying to kind of showcase some of your work and talk about it, well, I said, well, I could do that and we could do it really well. So it looks great, you know, almost kind of documentary-esque. And in fact, it will be kind of a mini documentary.
Yes.
So far, that's the plan. Discussing your philosophies, your artwork, your history. I'm just fascinated with all the traveling you've done, which adds a lot more excitement and an element of intrigue to
you. And I've yet to come out with some of that. But, yeah, no, and of course, when a master offers to help you any notion I had of playing with a camera just sort of went by the wayside.
And I love your voice. It's not just great on the radio, guys. It's great in the movie, No Child.
All right.
And I knew that you would be the perfect host for your own, you know, bio and your work and your life.
Once Before I Die, yes.
That's right.
Well, thank you. I'm glad we're doing this.
There's a good title for it.
What, Once Before I Die?
Yeah.
Right. The title of my novel, Once Before I Die. Here, I've done it.
Your bucket
I can
list.
Go now.
Claudio, I'd like to ask Rob one more question.
Please.
Rob, how important is an agent in the movie business? Say, for you to get an agent, or not just an actor or an actress, but producers and directors, do they have agents?
Yes, most everyone has something, especially when you're established, just to manage all that. It's just a big fiasco trying to keep track of all of it. For someone like me, that's really my only in is through an agent or a friend of a friend kind of situation. I mean, a lot of people that have, they're one person away from someone who can look at a project and make it happen, which is great, but it's not happening yet. When you an agent agrees to represent your work, they're actively going. They have license to go to all the networks, showcase it, walk in there. Right. They'll let them in the door, whereas if I ask, they won't let me in the door. Part of it's legal. They don't want to have any kind of ramifications if they look at my script and then some other project comes up that looks similar, then suddenly I've got a lawsuit. So part of it's protection, but part of it's also hassle. You know, even like you've got all these new things like Netflix and Hulu, which have their own programming now, you know, their own TV shows.
Right.
Well, they used to take unsolicited things, but they've reached a point where they only talk to agents too. So if I want my work seen, it's got to go through an agent or a lawyer for that matter.
That's what happens when you get the lawyers in the mix,
But then there's the other angle, which is if I want work on top projects, once again, I need an agent to do the negotiating and to seal the deal. Most of my work has gone through independent contractors, folks that have a great idea, they like my work, and then they approach me when they have financing. So that's most of my projects up to this point.
Gotcha. Fascinating. I years ago, I had an agent, but I've never really been able to connect with anyone since. So I would have to say you and I, we met through LinkedIn originally.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And then, of course, the radio show. And that I think the radio show has been my agent as far as you go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. An agent definitely will help you with finding a great story.
Right.
Or possibly a great script, but most of that's going to be done on your own. And we've got lots of great stories to tell, and hopefully we'll be opening the doors wider and wider into the next year.
Absolutely. Anything you want to add to that, Will? Putting Will on the spot. He said, no, man, let's get back. I'm trying to sleep off this party.
Well,
you can ask about it.
There's really
party.
Not much to add. I mean, it's just so impressive to sit here and listen to his body of work.
Yeah,
and as well as talking about your body of work. And I feel honored to even be sitting here with you guys right now.
You know, Claudio, maybe you ought to ask him about his dancing partner. That'll get him going.
Oh, the wedding. Yes. I did like that little sketch. Let's have a little character sketch. You told your parents that you were going to dance with your grandma.
Yeah.
Take it a step. This is at his sister's wedding, what, yesterday?
On Saturday.
Saturday.
So for years, ever since I was a little kid, my grandma has always wanted to dance with me. And even when I had school dances, she'd say, hey, you know, show me how you dance with the girls and stuff. And I never really showed her. And finally, this was the one opportunity when we would have the chance. And I told my parents, I said, you know what? Instead of doing like a serious dance, I think I'm going to play a joke on her. And I got the DJ to play, I guess it would be considered a rap song, but it's kind of a provocative song. And I went up there, took the flower that was on my suit, put it in my mouth, took the top, my tie off, wrapped it around her neck, and I basically danced as if I was a male performer, and you know she was.
And how was Grandma taking all this?
It was the first time in my life I've ever seen her at a loss for words.
Anybody can film with this? I mean, Rob, you should have been there.
Usually it's her embarrassing me, and then I finally got my payback.
Turn the table.
So, exactly. So,
well, Rob, take us. Make sure we cover all the bases here.
Sure.
We've got another 5 minutes before we have to wrap,
let's
make sure we give contact information, et cetera.
Oh, absolutely. And we should mention, of course, Will Williams is an actor.
Yes.
He's done a lot of great work, and he's the lead actor in No Child,
right.
Along with being a producer and the concept guy. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Will does with his producing. He's been meeting a lot of great contacts, and I'm very excited about possible projects in the future.
Good.
No Child, right now it doesn't even have an official website yet, but you can get your regular updates on Rob Underhill Productions on Facebook. You can also go to my website, which is more of a, you know, kind of like going to a stone and looking at stuff that's been chiseled in, because it's not updated quite the same way as Facebook is, where you talk about what you ate that morning.
Mm-hmm, so, right. I skip all those parts.
Yeah. But I still love to see you visit robunderhill.com, which
Absolutely.
Is where you can get connected to me through LinkedIn and all the other stuff. But other stuff coming up, we're trying to... We're going full forward with editing Box Brown, which is the story of an American slave who mailed himself to freedom in 1849. It's all shot. It's going to be about 100 minutes long.
Did you say mailed himself to freedom?
Obviously, he didn't nail in the actual box at the end, but he came up with the concept. He met people that are willing to build this box and put him on the train.
What an ingenious notion.
Yeah. And he's the only one
that's... Must have been one hell of a stamp.
No, and this is true. This actually did happen.
Yeah, it rings of
being true. Famous story. And in fact, not enough people know the story, which is good for us because it's a fantastic story to tell. And also, it brings up the whole discussion of American slavery in a way that you could teach to the new generation. You know, it's good for all ages. It's PG.
I can see the frustration. Oh, man, I forgot to put on a zip code. I'm in a box, people.
Yeah, and there was times where he could have died. He was on his head for a lot of the trip. So he was very brave to go all the way through with it. Because at some point, if he cried out, he would have been caught, obviously.
Yeah.
And that would have been the end of the story.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Well, lots of cool things happening. You know, we're very excited. And I'm looking forward to sharing with your audience new things as they come forward. And I'm looking forward to you coming out to the presentation of No Child in September.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. You know, like I said, I've deliberately kept the thing such a mystery to me. I'm going to see it with fresh eyes, which will give me the chance to do a review as well.
Absolutely.
And I will be unbiased about being in it.
Do I count as friends and family for that?
I don't know. Get off that mic and I'll tell you. So we've got, 3 minutes left, Rocco? Before we bring this to a close, we usually end at about 5 till so that the next show can line up for coming in. So any last-minute statement, suggestion, address, contact you want to give, do it one more time. And
sure. Every way you need to reach me, you can do it through robunderhill.com. And I do recommend anyone that's got, if someone has, just any kind of project because, you know, we of course, have to make a living.
Consider everything,
and I love
yes.
To, yeah, and I really do enjoy all kinds of projects. I love doing music videos. I love doing promos. I love doing even infomercials. I did something for UNC recently.
Absolutely.
And I really enjoyed myself because I just love telling stories. And the narrative structure works on just about everything. So.
I'm trying to twist his arm into doing more narration so I can get in the picture. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and of course, if all else fails and you lose contact information for Rob Underhill, just connect with me through claudioarts.com and I'll put you guys together. But there's a lot going on, and I think, I think even though you've already mastered the craft greatly, the cinematic craft, you and Aravind.
And I haven't even mentioned him.
Please do.
He's my longtime partner. First major film I did, 2005. I've worked with him ever since on most of my narrative and feature film projects. He's been my cinematographer, co-producer.
Does amazing work.
He's been a partner in crime for quite some time.
And even though you've been accomplished for quite some time, I would say that being invited to the Cannes Film Festival was sort of a baptism, wasn't it?
Well, absolutely. You know, and also people should know the name Zoning Media, which is a wonderful grip electric company right here in Durham. So people need serious film lighting and gear. He's the one. And that's Arvind Ragapathy's company.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's right.
Wow, okay. I'm impressed.
And if you want to get a hold of me, of course, apexartscouncil.org or our Facebook. Just go to Apex Arts Council on Facebook.
Perfect. Rocco, anything to add?
Well, if you want to hear good music, listen to Music Hall every Saturday morning, 9 until 12 noon.
The man has done more than 500 shows now.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a great collection of music every time you listen.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, thank you, folks, for tuning in. This is yours truly on Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, brought to you by the Historic Carolina Theater of Durham, as well as the Apex Arts Council, the president of whom we have sitting here in front of a mic I keep trying to turn off.
Yep.
But thank you so much for tuning us in, and have a splendid day. Until next time, cheers.